Joining us now in the studio, day-to-day senior producer and letters editor Steve Proffitt, here to help share some of your letters. Steve?
And Alex, let's begin with a correction, one that unfortunately involves you and really me too.
Are you sure it's not Madeline's fault?
No. Yesterday, you talked with our reporter, David Folkenflik.
Right. We're discussing the news that the columnist Robert Novak had finally admitted that he cooperated in an investigation of who leaked the identity of CIA agent Valerie Plame.
Now, this is a complicated story involving high-level administration officials, a former ambassador, an African nation, and something called Yellow Cake. I think you did a really good job of explaining all this, but you got tripped up on the name of the African nation. Here's the offending passage.
This story began with President Bush's allegations that Saddam Hussein was trying to buy materials for nuclear weapons in Nigeria years ago.
Listener Vickery Prongay McCall writes, I think you may have added a couple of vowels at the end of the country in question.
Okay. The country is, of course, Niger and not Nigeria. The countries border each other, but they are distinct. I regret the error.
Don't beat yourself up, Alex. I edited that story and I missed that slip too.
Okay. Here's a letter from listener Catherine Mesa with the subject line, Science Stupid Head. She writes, that ignorant parent was unacceptably obnoxious.
She's referring to a commentary we ran on Tuesday by our contributor actress, Annabelle Gurwitch. She asked parents if they understood basic science concepts.
I remember one who thought cold fusion was some sort of new cuisine.
Right. Noting studies that indicate children are becoming less interested in science as a career, Annabelle proposed sending their parents back to school so they could at least answer questions from their kids like, hey, Dad, where is the internet?
What needs to change, writes listener Basha Yonas, is not what parents know about science, but their excitement in asking why or how. What's missing, he says, is the gleam in the eye.
Finally, Alex, we got an unusual number of letters asking about a song we played on Monday at the end of a piece about a hitchhiker.
Yeah, that was Scott Carrier's story about a guy he picked up in Utah. The man was limping badly, said he'd been brutally beaten at a truck stop and was trying to make it home to Sacramento.
Right. Scott picked him up, and he chose to end the piece with a classic written by Curtis Mayfield. It's People Get Ready.
People get ready.
And the version he used was performed by Eva Cassidy. It's on an album called Live at Blues Alley.
All right. And if you're ready to write us, just visit our website, npr.org. Click on the Contact Us link, and you'll find day-to-day there. Letters editor Steve Proffitt. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, Alex.
People get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast.